So we're live on Blog Talk.
Okay, let's see. Now, one more place I gotta go. Okay. Close that door, because that's important. Okay. Okay.
Did you already set up your title screens for Facebook?
All right. Okay. All right, you guys, we can go ahead and get started. You can go ahead and get started here. Just let me do our intro. All right, you guys, I want to. Here we go. Here we are. All right, you guys, I want to welcome you to the Can We Be Frank show here on Universal Collective Network. I am your host, and we have, do we have two of the old ladies, or we only have one of the old ladies tonight?
The other one's at the hospital with her daughter-in-law.
Oh, that's right. I did see that. Okay. All right. I hope everything is going to be great with her. I hate that. I think she had to go back into the hospital, right?
Yes. Yeah. She went in and she's staying.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, surgery.
Okay. All right. All right, you guys, I want to welcome a great, great friend of mine, and I love every time he gets an opportunity to grace his presence with us here on Universal Collective Network. We have Keith Beauchamp in the house, you guys. I am so happy to hear from him, and I want him to kind of introduce himself to some of the people who probably don't know you or have heard of you but don't know your whole story. And then I want you to go into talking about Emmett Till, and we'll ask you some questions as we go, okay?
Sure.
Great, great.
Well,
great.
Hello, everyone. My name is Keith Beauchamp, Beauchamp. I'm from the Baton Rouge area, now living in New York City. I'm known for my work with the Emmett Till story. I produced the documentary, The Untold Story of Emmett Lewis Till in 2004 that led to the reopening of the case. I'm also the, I guess, the filmmaker and activist and host of the Injustice Files on Investigation Discovery, currently producing a movie on the Emmett Till murder case, which will be my, what I consider to be my second attempt to get the truth about Emmett's murder out to the masses.
Okay, so where are you at? And I remember the last time me and you actually seen each other was when we came to Baton Rouge, right? At Southern, right? Was it Southern?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
I was there hosting a screening chill, I think, wasn't it?
Yes,
no,
yes,
it
sure was.
Some other work.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I go back and forth, but I know today while we're talking is about, of course, the recent news of the case being reopened. And I have to tell you that I'm very, very excited that story was leaked, one,
wow.
by a journalist. And now it has given me that opportunity and a platform to speak out about the case again,
mm-hmm.
rather than before I had to be very protective. The ongoing investigation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, to your listeners, I'm not sure how many of you know about the Emmett Till murder case, but for those who do not know, let me just run the story by you for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Emmett Till was a 14-year-old black Chicago youth who, in 19- 1855, went to the Mississippi Delta to visit his childhood cousins, his relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Within a week's time, Emmett was abducted from his great uncle's home, tortured, then murdered for one of the oldest taboos of the South, addressing a white woman in public. Two men, Roy Bryant and J.W. Mallon, were soon arrested but later acquitted in a court of law by an all-white, all-male jury.
Mm-hmm.
4 months after this dreadful crime, Roy Bryant and J.W. Mallon were confessed to the murder of Emmett Lewis Till to a reporter by the name of William Bradley Huey, who would then publish their story for $4,000 in Look Magazine.
Wow.
And of course, many felt this case would cause a change that we will ultimately later see the mobilization, I should say, the mobilization of the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
It was because of Emmett Till's murder being foremost in Sister Rosa Parks' mind while she made her decision, her courageous decision, not to get up from her seat on the bus in Montgomery, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
It was because of Till's murder being foremost in Dr. King's mind, which is why he took on the Montgomery bus boycott. He felt that the murder of Emmett Till was an intimidation factor to keep black people away from the polls.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the real connection when you talk about civil rights in this country. The civil rights movement itself, Emmett Till is considered to be the catalyst of that.
Wow. Wow.
And so, for me, the case of Emmett Till has been with me since I was a child. I learned about the case at the age of 10. I was in my parents' study, and I came across a Jet magazine photograph of Emmett Till. And like many of us who saw that photograph for the first time, I was shocked. I really wanted to know what this picture was of.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents came in and they explained the story to me. But throughout my life, the name Emmett Till kept resurfacing. When I got into high school, I was interracially dating. And the first thing my parents often tell me before I left the house at night was, don't let what happened to Emmett Till happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it became an educational tool to teach me about the racism that still exists in this country today.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until 2 weeks before my high school graduation, I would have to say that I had my real run-in with racism when I was actually assaulted by an undercover police officer at a pre-graduation party for dancing with a white classmate of mine.
Wow.
That's what spurred me, and make sure that these types of things never happen to a person of color again. But I had to put myself, I felt, in a position of power. So I began to study criminal justice at Southern University of Baton Rouge in hopes of becoming a civil rights attorney. But I would soon later be introduced to film by childhood friends during my junior year of college.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm doing this work now.
Wow.
And so Emmett Till is a part of my DNA. I work diligently behind the scenes for 9 years to produce a film called The Untold Story of Emmett Lewis Till that was released in theaters in 2005. But it was that film, as I said earlier, that actually got the case reopened in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And so fast forward to now, I know your listeners probably have heard that last year there was a author by the name of Dr. Tim Tyson,
mm-hmm,
who wrote a book called The Blood of Emmett Till,
mm-hmm,
who actually was able to interview Carolyn Bryant, the white woman who was actually at the center of the Till investigation in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also, of course, the woman that Emmett Till whistled at in 1955.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Tyson was able to speak with her and get a confession out of her that she basically fabricated her story in which she testified to in the courts in 1955.
Wow.
And so, of course, when that was announced, when that broke news, that also sent red flags up for myself and many of us who were very close to the Till case.
Mm-hmm.
Where I began to push behind the scenes to ask for a re- of the case once again. And so just recently, a couple of weeks ago, there was a reporter who discovered that the case was reopened. And it was something that we were hoping to keep silent for a bit. It was at the request of one of Emmett Till's cousins, Mr. Simeon Wright, who was also the next of kin. He shared the bed with Emmett in 1955 when he was abducted. It was at the request of Simeon Wright that if they reopened the case, that it would be something that would be done behind the scenes and not necessarily in public, because at the time he was battling cancer. And so, unfortunately, we lost Mr. Wright last year. And, you know, everything was still a little of the hush-hush and solid. But this reporter recently, 2 weeks ago, broke the story when he discovered that the case was reopened by a congressional document that he received. And so when he broke the silence, of course, everyone is talking about Till again. And so for me personally, I'm very relieved that the story broke, because it was very difficult to stay silent for so long about this investigation that was going on behind the scenes. And so now, by him, I mean by the reporter coming out and of course revealing this information, it gives me an opportunity and a platform to speak out about this case once again, asking for justice to be done for the murder of Emmett Till.
That is so awesome. Wow. That was a lot. That was a lot.
I saw the lady on TV. Saw her on TV. Right on the side of Bill Cosby. And they said she's 83 years old. And why would they want to put her, why would they want to put Cosby in jail and don't want to put her in jail? And she's 83 years old.
That's correct, yes, ma'am. And that's something that I've been fighting to understand myself for a while. Carolyn Bryant, we should have gotten her in 2007 when the grand jury unfortunately came back and made their decision that they were not going to indict her. I felt that we had overwhelming evidence against her. And, of course, when the case was presented to a jury of our peers in the Delta of Mississippi, they decided to pass a no-true bill and also claim that was insufficient evidence that she shouldn't be charged for anything. And, of course, I didn't agree with it, and I can honestly tell you the federal government didn't agree with it. Who actually led the investigation and handed over their findings to the state. And so it's something that was a huge eye-opener for myself to realize, even at, during this day and time, our country is not prepared, or even our judicial system is not prepared to put an elderly woman, white woman, in jail for the murder and kidnapping of Emmett Till. And so that's the huge awakening that I hope that everyone gets. It's something that we truly need to understand, because this woman should not be walking the earth without being held accountable for the kidnapping and murder of Emmett Till.
That's right.
And I firmly stand by that. And it's not something that I'm just blowing in the wind. It's something that I do know. And there's a lot of evidence against her. And now we're back to square one again, where she makes this admission that she fabricated her story. So what should happen to her? What should happen at this point? You mentioned Bill Cosby. I could go even further than that. We have no problem putting Nazi criminals in jail. We will wheel them out in wheelchairs. We'll walk them out when they're having walkers. You know, they don't care. They make sure they put those folks in jail. In terms of Carolyn Bryant, I mean, justice must prevail in this case, and that's it.
Yeah. And you know what? Okay, So if you go, you said the first time they didn't indict her, right?
They didn't indict her the first time. When it went to the grand jury from the 2004 investigation,
mm-hmm.
they decided not to indict her.
Okay, okay. So that wouldn't be considered double jeopardy if you was to go after her again, if you could.
It wouldn't be considered. It depends on the evidence that's brought
up. Okay, okay.
What we do know is that there's possibly perjury going on.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that when I got the case reopened in 2004, but perjury, the court, when she lied in the courtroom, in which she's referring to, they only held a 2-year statute of limitations, so
mm-hmm.
we couldn't get her on perjury.
Mm-hmm.
We really had to build a case against her
mm-hmm.
for culpable negligence.
Okay.
Because we knew she had to understand the danger Emmett Till would be in and did nothing stop it.
Yes.
And we were able to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, it still went to a grand jury, and a grand jury decided not to indict her. So at this point, I'm just probably like everyone else in trying to figure out what is it the federal government has against her.
Mm-hmm.
What do they have?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something there that they're feeling confident about about it enough to reopen it on a federal level.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Well, I hope they don't wait till. I mean, she's 83 years old.
Well, she's actually 84.
Okay.
We can put another year on it.
Okay.
Actually 84, and I'm the same, and I feel the same way that you do, as well, Selena. I really truly hope that we don't wait too long.
Yeah.
The last I've seen of her and heard of her through friends who were close to her, she's doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not ailing like the rumors in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want the system to work.
Yeah.
Just like it would work with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so regardless of who she is and how old she is.
That's right.
People have to remember that she was 21 years old at the time of Emmett's murder.
Yeah.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't want people to feel sorry that, it's me, this is an elderly woman. She was a young murderer.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And complicit to it, if nothing else.
Exactly. Complicit to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. So she definitely. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I tell her for the life of his, the life of his death, like some people die young and then they charge them so much because the person would make so much money in his lifetime.
If he was if he was to be a grown man, you're talking about?
Yeah.
If he lived to be a grown man?
Yes. For the life of this person.
That's another way to look at it. I know that many years ago, Emmett Till's mother, after the murder case itself, after the murder took place, she tried to sue the state of Mississippi. And unfortunately, she wasn't successful. But I do believe there's a possibility of wrongful death
mm-hmm.
lawsuit can be done
mm-hmm.
against this woman, especially after she now comes out and say she fabricated the story.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control.
Bad boy. Come out and play.
I know we had to do a remix, right?
Sisters is mad, I get more butt than ashtrays. Fuck a fair one, I get mine the fast way. Ski mask way, and nigga ransom notes. Far from handsome, but damn a nigga tote. More guns than roses, foes is shaking in their boots. A visible bully, like the gooch disappear, vamoose, you whack to me. Take them rhymes back to the factory. I see the gimmicks, the whack lyrics, the shit is depressing. Pathetic, please forget it. You're mad cause my style you're admiring. Don't be mad, UPS is hiring. You should have been the cop, hip hop. With that freestyle, you're bound to get shot. Not from Houston, but I rap a lot. Pack the gap a lot, the flame's about to drop.
Here comes the brand new flavor, yeah. Time for new flavor, yeah. I'm the king and new flavor, yeah.
Up, no rap, no crap, you bore me. One to grab my body, too lazy, hold it for me. I'm straight, rap great, bust the head straight and dreads, I'm everlasting. Like it's so on protest, a tech nine, when I rhyme, plus I climb, world is mine. Your album couldn't with one line. It's been 3 years since your last year, but now I reappear, your heart pumps fear to your gut. Did your girl's butt, I scraped it, shaped it, now she won't strut. I smash teeth, off your beef, no relief. I step on stage, girls scream like I'm Keith. You won't be around next year. My rap's too severe, can't get bad flavor in your head.
Cut off the brand new flavor in your head. Time for new flavor in your head. I'm kicking new flavor in your head. Like a brand new flavor in your head. Cut off the brand new flavor in your head. Time for new flavor in your head.
2194, mad motherfucking hardcore. It's my time to burn, to explore. The flavor in your ear is the voice shout. I make out, I make all the rappers have doubt.
Right.
You're fucking with the wrong clan and the wrong man, that's it. Now you got to get your dome split. I'm going into my knapsack with my jet. Take off my hat, yes, I'm just cool like that. The dangerous, the ruggedness from the flat with your bitch. BLS 97 kids bouncing it. I'm gonna live long in this rap gang. Licking on my name, yo, Puffy.
You're jingling, baby. You're jingling, baby.
Pitchy.
Blotitious. Skeevy. Delicious. Give me cooch, cooch, love me good. Damn. Holla to Hollywood, but is he good? I guess like the jeans. Flavor like praline. Sick daddy, I mean. Papa love it when he does it. It can buzz it. But tell me, was it really just the flavor that be clogging your ears? The most healthy behavior is to stay in the clear. It's all for you, it's really all for you. Hunch back, close your eyes, try to munch that. Oil up your ankles, let your Timbs chat. Bite the flavor, it reacts to your gold cat. Word to mama, I tongue kiss a piranha. Electrocute barracuda, I'm here to bring the drama.
Yo, 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 flavors in your ass green. Bust the rhymes about to bring the noise, don't sleep. Let me loose from the belly of the beast. Everybody, hey, hey, hey. You better believe it's Bust the rhymes, the way we about to rip the try. I say, yo, yo, hey, hey, hey. I split your face and give you stitches. So niggas and bitches, let the ass off that. Wait 1 sec, and I get down. I'm rolling with the heavyweight connect. Who's the sharpest ground now? Don't you get suspicious. Grant your riches every time. Bring it vicious when I bust the rap. I know one thing the whole world is expecting is how we all connected. To break fool on the same record. Five new flavors on the beat. Building up the heat.